This is why we worship all that you've done, all that you are, God. I've tasted unsurpassed love. Thank you.
Good morning and welcome to First Baptist. We are delighted to see you this cold, snowy Sunday morning. We welcome you, a special welcome to those listening by radio or watching on Facebook. We are so glad that you are here to worship with us this morning. Just a few announcements. Tonight at 6 p.m., our Kids Explorers and our youth will meet in the Fellowship Hall for dinner. And so if you'll have everybody in the Fellowship Hall, our kids and youth at 6 p.m., then they will move upstairs to their regularly scheduled events. But we have dinner provided for them this evening, so it will be a great time of fellowship. Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., our paper pals will meet. And again, our preschool teachers are very appreciative of your willingness to come and help them out. And at 6 p.m. tomorrow evening, our online Bible study will take place, so we look forward to seeing you turn in for that. On Tuesday at 11 a.m., our Women on Mission will meet. So please mark that down. And on Wednesday at 6 p.m., we will have our time of devotion with Pastor Kevin here in the sanctuary. And then at 6:30, the choir will meet, prayer meeting will meet, and Kingdom Kids will meet. So please mark those down. We hope to see you here. On Thursday evening, a very special service here in the life of our church, 8 p.m., we have our Maundy Thursday service. We have spent all of these weeks here with Christ's journey to the cross, and so we come to this point on Thursday evening. It is a very special, very moving service, and we hope that you will come and worship with us. That will be at 8 p.m. Of course, this is the service where we leave in silence and darkness, and so please make plans to be here with us. And then just so you know, on Friday, the church office will be closed. It is Good Friday, so if you need to contact Barbara for any reason, do that before Friday. And then next Sunday morning, we look forward to seeing you here at 9:45 for Sunday school, and then 11 o'clock for worship. It will be Easter Sunday, and we look forward to having you with us. And so with that being said, again, we welcome you this morning.
Good morning and welcome here to First Baptist Church. And as we come to our sixth Sunday of Lent, our last candle before the Christ candle, as you see, the light continues to dim. And during this Lenten season, we remember the events that led to Jesus and to his crucifixion. He had come into the world to bring hope and light, but at every turn, there are those who struggled with the consequences of that light. He came as a friend of sinners, and many knew him. But even those who were close to him would often fail to be faithful. When he would depend on them the most, they rejected him. When Jesus and the disciples were at supper in the upper room, a discussion arose among the disciples about who was the most faithful disciple. Peter claimed that esteemed honor, but Jesus told them that the cup from which he was about to drink was too bitter for any of them to accept. One by one, each would forsake him. Peter said, "I will not forsake you, Lord. I will follow you to the end of the earth and suffer what you suffer." Jesus replied to him, "Yes, Peter, you will suffer what I suffer. But before the cock crows this morning, three times you will betray me." After Jesus was arrested, Peter followed the crowd and warmed himself by a fire while Jesus was being questioned. As he sat there, a serving maid from the house saw him and said, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" And Peter said, "No, I am not." Another heard him answer and said, "You're a Galilean. Surely you're one of his followers." And again, Peter said that he did not know Jesus. A little while later, still another man came up to the fire and said, "Didn't I see you with Jesus when he was teaching?" With anger in his voice, Peter said, "I told you I do not know this man." And then in the distance, a cock crowed. Peter glanced up and saw Jesus looking at him through the doorway. Peter turned away and ran from the courtyard with tears streaming down his neck. Even those who loved him most were unable to support him in his darkest hour. When they could have been there, they went into hiding, allowing Jesus to suffer and die alone. And as his friends abandoned him into the hands of his enemies, a little of the light that had come into the world went out. Let us pray. Father, on this Sunday marks the beginning of Holy Week, a week set aside for us to travel where Christ traveled. From the chairs in the exaltation of him going into Jerusalem and the crowds waving the palm branches and laying coats down at his feet, to these same crowds yelling, "Crucify him," come Friday morning. Help us to feel and see everything Jesus experienced for Sunday's coming. And we look forward to embracing it. We just praise you this morning. And we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And sing.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms, He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the world belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up Your name with hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord my God, Hosanna in the highest. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory to the King of Kings. Lord, we lift up Your name with hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord my God, Hosanna in the highest.
Thank you. You may be seated.
If there's any other children that would like to come down, please come down.
Good morning, children. How are you this morning? You good? Okay. Have any of you ever had a surprise, something that you weren't expecting? You ever had something really nice happen? Can somebody tell me? Can you think of anything? Have you ever gotten a present like a puppy or a kitten or anything like that? No? No? No presents? Well, I have to tell you, such a deprived children. I'll tell you a story. Well, I have my husband and I have five children, and they're all grown now. But when one of them was about 5 or 6 years old, I sent him out to the mailbox, and it was Easter. And I said, go get the mail. He'd never done it before. But he went out there. He could barely reach it. And he opened it up. And guess what? There was a big surprise. Do you want to guess what was in it? A bunny rabbit. And he slammed it shut. And he came running into the house. And he said, there's a bunny rabbit in the mailbox. And I said, no, letters are in the mailbox. It can't be. And he said, Mama, come and look. And I said, nah, I don't believe that. And he said, come and look. And so we all went and looked. Of course, we knew because I had put it in there. But he didn't know that. And he was so surprised. It was something really nice, and he wasn't expecting it. The only thing we did wrong was we thought that rabbit might need a little playmate, and we had lots of rabbits. So we learned about that. So I just wanted to show you a little surprise this morning. This is one of my experiments. This is a film container. You'd probably never even seen one of these because everybody does digital, but way back in my day, there was film, and you threaded it in the camera. And this is a film holder. That's all, okay? And this is water. So this is just regular water. Okay, I'm going to pour a little bit of water in here. Not much. Going to put the top on it. Now, we just kind of have to wait. Count with me. One. Two. Choir, count. Okay. That's your surprise. Well, we weren't expecting that, were we? No. Nobody was expecting that. I told security. So, they're the only ones that knew. And I've kind of made a mess, Pastor. It's okay. Okay. I like the pastor a lot. Okay. So, and you know what? I've had things go really wrong. Do you remember when I did the thing with the balloon? Do you remember that? I popped two of them on the way coming. And so my husband's sitting there. God bless him. I don't know what I'd do without him. But anyway, we were doing this morning, and I had a spare. So I'm learning how to do a little bit better. Okay. So let me tell you, the morning that Jesus had the women come to the tomb, they brought spices to put on his body, and they said, we got a problem. We got a real problem. And the problem is, there was a great big what, you know? Stone. There was a big stone. And they were just regular women, and they couldn't move it. And they said, we're going to have help. Don't know what we're going to do. Sometimes we think a problem, and it's never really even there. Most of the stuff we worry about never happens. So they got to the tomb. And the stone was what? Rolled away. It wasn't there. No problem. But then they thought, what have they done with Jesus? And they looked in, and he wasn't there. But there was an angel there, and the angel said, why are you looking for Jesus among the graves where the dead people are? He's not dead. He's alive. He's very much alive. And do you know what? Jesus, nobody believed it. They ran and they told the disciples, and they said, we're not going to believe it. This is women. This is women. You can't believe that. You know, women could not testify in court because the words weren't good, and they didn't believe those women. But the Bible says that Jesus stayed after he rose up from the grave. He stayed for 40 days, and the Bible says that he appeared to more than 500 people. This was not done in a closet. He wanted everybody to know. And you know, he wasn't a ghost because he ate with them. And he said, he told Thomas, he said, Thomas, feel my hands and feel this place in my side. And then Thomas said, oh my God, my Lord and my Savior. He knew then. He had to feel it and see it for himself. And the Bible says that God makes all things new. It's one of the most wonderful scriptures in the Bible. it says that God makes all things new. And this is what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anybody is in Christ, anybody, doesn't matter if you're little or if you're old, doesn't matter if you're short or you're tall, it doesn't matter what color you are, it doesn't matter if you're poor or you're rich, it doesn't matter what country you come from. You can come from any country. But the Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Do we have that scripture? It doesn't matter. Ah, we do have it. All right. Children, we haven't done this in a long time. You old people, if you want to join us, feel free. If you're hesitant, if you think it's silly, it's okay. Don't feel any pressure. Okay? But this is what we do. We make a spiritual sandwich, and this is the bread, and this is the bread, and that's where the scripture is. Okay? That's where we find it, which is going to be, can you say Revelation? Try it again.
Revelation.
Good. Choir, come on.
Revelation.
Try it again.
Revelation.
Right. Don't put an S on it, singular. It was a vision that God gave to John. A vision. Revelation. Singular. Okay? Say it again. Revelation. Okay, and then the next part of it that says 21, that's the chapter in the Bible. So it's in Revelation. Revelation is the very last one, easy to find. So you go to Revelation. I'm going to do this. Just go to the very back. And then this is Revelation. And then you go to chapter 21. All right, and then the next thing after the colon is the verse. And so this is going to be... You see five? Can you see five right there? Okay, so so here we go. Ready? Let's do it. Ready? Revelation 21:5. Behold, I make all things new. Revelation 21:5. Let's hit it. Ready? Revelation 21:5. We're going to go faster. Fabulous. But slow. That was old people slow. Let's go. Ready? Good. You're with me. You're with me. Great. All right. Ready? Revelation 21:5. Behold, I make all things new. Revelation 21:5. All right. Let's see if we can beat the choir. Ready? Ready to go? Revelation 21:5. Behold, I make all things new. Revelation 21:5. I think they might have beat us. I don't know. All right, let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. Oh, you're so good to us. And Father, we thank you that you give us a new heart, a heart that's tenderhearted and compassionate one to another. Father, we thank you that you take all the old past sins away and give us new life in Christ. We want to please you, God. We pray that you would help us to want to please you. Give us a new attitude. We love you. And we give you honor and praise. We ask your blessings on these children. It's in the holy and the precious name of Jesus we ask it. Amen. Okay, you may go back. Oh, forgot. Don't let me forget the candy. That's the important part. Okay. This might take a second.
That's all right. Aren't these kids great? Let's give God some thank yous through our applause for our children. Okay, everybody, let's stand and sing.
Hosanna loud, Hosanna, the little children sing. Through pillar, court, and temple, the lovely and the brave, to Jesus who hath blessed them, comes folded to his breast. The children sing their praises, the simplest and the best. Hosanna in the highest, that ancient song we sing, for Christ is our Redeemer, the Lord of
As we've been most of this Lenten season, certainly the last several weeks, for about a week ahead, normally this would be preached next Sunday, talking about the resurrection, the truth of it. But next week, let me just say, be in prayer this week for my wife, as I'll be sharing my testimony next week. And a lot of the good, the bad, and the ugly was before I met her. So, yeah. She's going to be a cat on a hot, thin roof next week. So, but this morning I want to share with you the resurrection and the truth of it. Because it is true. Sometimes we can't explain everything, but I can say emphatically this morning that it is true. The resurrection is true, and it calls us to turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we say yes to Him and we go through the waters of baptism, we're saying yes to not only Savior but to Lord. As Thomas, doubting Thomas, said that, "My Lord and my God," he was making a statement that I am turning my life over to you. I'm taking myself off the throne of my heart and I'm willing for you to take that place for me, so that I can follow you and be with you. Easter is about the truth of the resurrection. I like to refer to it more often as Resurrection Sunday than Easter, because so often culturally our Our culture looks at Easter as a bunny, chocolate, peeps, jelly beans, ham, a new hat, new shoes, especially for the ladies. But what we're really celebrating is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We come with hope, we come with celebration, and we come with the promises of God. And yet, for many, as we will celebrate next Sunday, Easter brings skepticism. It brings doubt. It brings out the scoffers. We hold the belief that Scripture is true, and it gives us an unfailing account in the Gospels of Jesus Christ. We trust that the message of the Bible is true, and that the Scriptures can be trusted. And for those who may be skeptical, or those who may be naysayers and scoffers, or those who may be fearful, don't let them take away your faith to the truth of the resurrection and the truth of the gospel. Because when you say yes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, your life is changed. And so with that, let us look at Luke this morning so I can share with you how true the resurrection of Christ is. But before we jump into chapter 24, I'm going to read to you the first four verses of the gospel of Luke. And Luke is writing to his buddy Theophilus. And he starts out and he says this, Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Many have undertaken to compile a narrative about the events that have been fulfilled among us. Now he's including himself in the community of faith. He's including himself along with the disciples. He says, many have undertaken this task to write about Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and the church, as we read in the book of Acts. Many have done this, and this is what he says. Just as the original eyewitnesses and servants of the word handed them down to us, just as those who were there with him, those who had eyewitness accounts, as you heard, there were over 500 by the time he finished his 40 days on earth after he resurrected. By the time all of these people handed down their eyewitness account to us, it also seemed good to me, since I have carefully investigated everything from the very first, to write to you an orderly sequence, most honorable Theophilus. Luke is saying here, it seemed good to him, so he decided to investigate this story, these events, his life, his death, his resurrection. He investigated everything, including from his birth. And he's now going to write this gospel in an orderly way to show that this is true. And in verse 4, he says that so that you may know the certainty of the things which you have been instructed. So that you will know without a shadow of a doubt that the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, you will know with certainty that all of this is true. So with that backdrop, let's go to the final chapter of this gospel, chapter 24. And he says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and they bowed down to the ground. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Asked the men. He's not here, but he's been resurrected. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day. And they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb. When he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen clothes. So he went home amazed at what happened. So this is Luke's orderly sequence of accounts of what happened on that Sunday morning. Now, as we go through this, let us go and take a few verses as a time to flesh this out. The first day of the week would have been Sunday morning. It was very early in the morning. They, meaning the women, came bringing the spices they had prepared. The scripture says in John chapter 20, verse 1, that on the very first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early. Notice this, while it was still dark. And she saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. Not only was it not daylight, not only had the sun not risen yet, but we know, especially in John's writings, when he talks about night, he's talking more about just whether it's daytime or nighttime. He's talking about not having the light. You're in the dark, meaning you don't have Jesus. That's why he wrote when the Pharisee Nicodemus came to visit Jesus, the scripture says he visited him at night, meaning he was in the dark, that there was no light. Christ hadn't shown himself yet. So everybody, the world, was still in darkness. The ladies wanted to put these spices on Friday afternoon, but then the sun came down and the Sabbath started, so they couldn't do any work. So the Sabbath didn't end until sundown Saturday night. So that is why very early in the morning, the women left to do what they needed to do on Friday, but because of Jewish law, they could not. We look at the second verse, and they found the stone rolled away. I mean, imagine these ladies embarking to put these spices on Jesus, thinking, how in the world are we going to remove such a heavy stone over the opening? Well, in Mark chapter 16, verse 3, it's recorded like this. They were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb for us? So they were traveling in the dark on blind faith that they still were going to be able to perform what they wanted to do in honor and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, they got there. We know when they went in, they found that stone open, but they didn't see the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed, they didn't understand. They couldn't remember. Most likely thinking somebody stole his body. Two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. The women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. And I love this. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? They said. He's not here, but he has been resurrected. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. The Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and then on the third day he will rise. And then Jesus came. And so while they were sharing these things, we can see that there would be nobody better to understand and believe than after they were told this. And then the ladies remembered. They remembered. And they believed. We continue in this. And so the ladies returned from the tomb. Could you imagine the excitement? The bewilderment, the nervousness. They ran back to the disciples and all the others who were there. They reported what they had seen. And again, another eyewitness account. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them. They didn't believe them. That word nonsense in the Greek means like a fairy tale or fables. They dismissed their account. Why would they lie? The men just dismissed them. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. And when he stooped in to look, he saw only the linen cloths. So he went home and he was also amazed at what happened. Jen, thank you for sharing about what it was like to be a woman in that day. Women were not considered credible witnesses, if you did not know. They were second-rate citizens at best. And so even the disciples, as close as they were to all these women who were part of the ministry and over the years of Jesus, dismissed them immediately. They viewed it as nonsense. But the nonsense was revealed in John 20:19. So this is now Sunday night. Remember, they didn't believe them. They're still sitting there all day in disbelief. And so in the evening on the first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because of their fear of the Jews. They thought they were next. They were in the upper room, and they thought the Jews were coming for them next, and they were going to be crucified and tortured and beaten. Then Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace to you. Peace." You know, for many, this story is far-fetched. And I don't always have all the answers when I get questions asked of me pertaining to God or faith or the Scriptures. And sometimes we won't have an answer until we're on the other side of eternity. That's where we have to have faith. That's why we have to know that God's ways aren't our ways, that our mind cannot comprehend an infinite God in His ways. But the truths about Christianity are these: that they're plain, they're verifiable, and they're disclosed with clarity in God's Word. And so when all this gets boiled down, we have to make a decision. Do I believe and trust in what I'm reading, or don't I? I mean, Jesus appeared not to one person in isolation over those 40 days. He appeared to a community of people. The early message of all of these disciples was, Jesus is alive. We have seen Him. We have touched Him. And another reason the resurrection can't be devised as a myth is because of the eyewitness account of the first to those who eyewitnessed this. I mean, think about this. If you're trying to get people to believe in a story that wasn't true in the first century, why in the world would you write about women being the first witnesses to declare that He was resurrected? It would make no sense to get people to believe, because everybody would just discount you unless it was true. And it's recorded in the Scriptures. It is true. Think about this. You've heard over weeks and weeks, and also during the Advent season of Christmas, the prophecies about Jesus. We read from Isaiah about the prophecies of Jesus and how they're fulfilled. We read about He's going to be born in the town of Bethlehem, which He was born in the town of Bethlehem. We read that He will be crucified between two murderers or thieves or rebels, depending on the translation. And He was. We also read that Jesus is going to be buried by a rich man, in which He was. We read that when they find the donkey tied for Him to go in on this Sunday that we celebrate, Palm Sunday, that donkey is a virgin, never had been ridden on. And so it was. Over and over and over, the Scriptures, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus came, and before He lived, and before any of these were fulfilled in prophecy, they were written, and we see. So how can, with all of this understanding of things that have come to pass that are true, and now we have an eyewitness account of many hundreds, do we revert back to that it's a fable or a myth? The Bible is way too accurate to discount its truthfulness. The resurrection is the heart of the gospel. And you'll hear next week, it is the very thing that sets Jesus apart from any other religion, any other pagan false god. It's the heart. How did Luke able to encapsulate in his writings in verse 7 when he talked about, don't you remember what Jesus said? Don't you remember? He'd be handed over to sinners, crucified, and in 3 days he would rise. And so let us continue this through as we move after the Emmaus Road experience in Luke's gospel. And we come to this place again where he shows himself on Sunday evening. And so in chapter 24, we continue in verse 36. Remember, he said this. As they were saying these things, okay, so the two men traveling the Emmaus Road, Jesus shows up. He breaks open the scriptures to them. They have a meal together. He prays, and then Jesus vanishes. And they say, weren't our hearts burning? So the two disciples run all the way back to Jerusalem to share these things with the 11 and others who were there. And so while they were talking about all these things, Jesus shows up again and says, peace to you. But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Now I'm there with them. The door was locked. And Jesus comes rolling in through the wall and says, peace to you. So they were startled. They were afraid. And he looks at them and he says, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? You can almost imagine Jesus with his 3 years of ministry with these guys teaching and the women that were with them too. Are you kidding me? I told you this. And you still doubt. So he says, look at my hands and my feet. That it is I myself. Touch me and see. Because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have. And do you know right now that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father in his body? Not as a spirit, not as a ghost. He resurrected in bodily form. He's standing there in bodily form. He says, touch my body. So we can put to bed all these doubts. And so having said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. You know, he showed Thomas a week later the gash in his side. Touch me. But while they were still amazed and noticed this, unbelieving because of their joy, he asked them, do you have anything to eat? Man, I'm hungry. It's been 3 days since I've had something. Again, another indicator that this is real. It's true. And so I love this. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish. So they are sitting down eating with him, talking to him. He took it and he ate it in their presence to show he wasn't a ghost, that he was real, that he did die, and that he did resurrect. And then he told them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. That everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, what, must be fulfilled. Over and over again, we read in the Old Testament all of these prophecies talking about Jesus, and he has fulfilled them. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. You know, it's like where we read, he breathed the Holy Spirit on them, and they could now understand. And he also told them this is what is written, the Messiah would suffer, and he would rise from the dead the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you, look at this, are witnesses of these things. You know, the gospel, which none of us like, tells us that we are worse than we could ever imagine. But we are more loved by God than we ever could imagine possible. You know, I was meditating this week for next week. And when you look in Galatians and you look in Ephesians and you look in Romans and you see the list of sins that Paul goes on and on. I was checking a bunch of them off. I was like, my gosh, we are worse than we could have imagined. Or at least I can say that for myself. But thanks be to God. He changes us to His character, His attributes, His quality. If you'll let Him. Luke summed it up, as I referred to a little while ago, that this is the heart of the gospel message. And we'll see over and over again how true it is if we're willing to open our eyes. You know, all the disciples, they believed so much that they all died for it. Not natural death, crucified with the sword. Burned. And they never wavered. Who would do such a thing if it was a myth or a fable or, as they said to the ladies, nonsense? The early disciples were imprisoned, beaten, slandered, executed, and they would not waver. I'm going to close with this scripture from Ephesians, because I think it speaks to our day. Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus. And in the 5th chapter, beginning with the 15th verse, he says to the church these words. And I think they're mighty appropriate for us today. Pay careful attention, then, to how you walk. Not as unwise people, but as wise. Don't be ignorant of what's going on. Don't be ignorant of the Word of God and His will for our lives. Walk as one who has a relationship with the Lord. Now, he's writing to the church. He's not writing to those who don't believe in Christ. He's writing to those who profess belief. So he's writing to us here this morning. Pay careful attention how you walk, how you live. Do not be ignorant of my ways. And do not be ignorant of the world's ways. You know, tomorrow night we'll be hitting Ezekiel 8 in our Bible study, and we'll be going a little bit quicker. But as I was reviewing that this week, all the elders and leaders were in a room in the temple worshiping pagan idols. And they were saying to themselves, God cannot see what we're doing. That's being ignorant. To think that they could worship Satan and Baal and think that God wouldn't see or notice, that's ignorance. And Paul is saying here, pay attention to how you walk. Be wise. Why? Why is he saying that? Making the most of the time because the days are evil. Making the most of the time means to redeem your time. Like cashing in a coupon at the store. Making the most of your time, why? Because the days are evil. So that should help us pause to think how we what? Spend our time. And lastly, so do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And that's the difference of being wise and being ignorant. Folks, let me just encourage us this Holy Week to spend our time wisely and find people who don't know the Lord. Let us pray. Father, even Jesus spoke the words there that evening when he says that they are to go forth and be witnesses beginning in Jerusalem. Witnesses to what? Of this incredible story that is true. Unless you want to discount the scriptures completely Unless we want to forget about these prophecies written hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was born that came true. It should inform us that the prophecies that are related to end times will also be true and will also be fulfilled. We may be a long way off, or we may be closer than we think. But in any event, and in either way, we are called to be the sent. Father, may we spend our time first with you. May you give us the words and the conviction of the truth of the resurrection so that we may share that. We thank you so much, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, this morning, I would encourage you, if the altar is open for prayer, if you'd like to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you'd like to be a part of our community of faith, we invite you. Please stand.
Thank you.
If you will be so kind just to be seated for just a moment. Not you two. If you do not know, this is Bishop Whitaker. We refer to him as B. His brother Braden Whitaker, we refer to as B2. And the redhead that's up here with the children's message, well, he's B3. So, but these two young men have come forward to receive Christ. And I'd like to be part of the church, and so I present them to you through baptism. All those in favor, say aye. If anybody opposed, you'll need to see their dad in the back. With that said, I'm going to ask moms up in the perch if she want to come down, and dad, and three of you guys just hang out together. So after the benediction, you can come up and receive them as well. So you guys just got to hang out up here a little bit, okay? And I believe we'll be having this next Sunday. So what a great Sunday to have some baptisms. Please stand. And as we go, let me just say we have some smart children in this church. As they were dismissed, none of them left. They shot you a look and said, where are the goods? Right? No candy today? As we go, we got a great week this week. It's a hard week if we feel what Jesus felt, especially Thursday and Friday. But it's an incredible week because Sunday is coming. May we go with that hope. May we go with that love and go with that peace.